Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program originally set to air October 20th and 21st, year of our Lord, 2024. We are in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 14. I'm going to begin again today in verse 53. We are talking about the trial of Jesus Christ, and we're going to get into a couple of issues today. We'll finish this chapter, and then next week begin to deal in Mark 15 with the actual crucifixion of Christ, the trial before Pilate and the crucifixion of Christ. We may not get to the crucifixion next week. In Mark 14:53, it says, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bare false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together." Now, last Sunday morning I told you that the scripture that required two witnesses was found in Deuteronomy 19, verse 17. And I was off by two verses. It was Deuteronomy 19:15. As I was reading through the book of Deuteronomy, and not that I read the whole thing this week, but just that's where my daily reading was at, I discovered my error, and it was still talking about that, but the actual scripture was in verse 15. Now, having let you know that I am not above making a mistake, these fellas, the bitter irony is, they would not, if they could keep from it, break the law. But yet they turned against the giver of the law. They did not really know the law because they didn't know love. If they'd have known love, they would have recognized the Lord. And some of them did. Nicodemus and others did recognize that he was the Christ. They did, in fact, know him, but others were blinded, perhaps by power or greed or whatever the case is, and they used it to crucify Christ, and many today are blinded by power and by greed and perhaps popularity or whatever the case might be. He says in verse 60, "And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And I probably do talk about this at least two or three times a year. I can just remember when I was a boy, and I was in church, and they would talk about the trial of Jesus, and they would talk about how that he was just like a lamb led to the slaughter, that he didn't say anything. And he does say a few words, but he never really mounts a defense. And we're going to look at some of his words, and I mean the next verse. And I understand that part of that's a fulfillment of Scripture, but I'm just going to tell you, I would sit there and I would think, why doesn't he say something? I mean, you know, if that was me, I'd be saying, yeah, that's just me. When they said, show us a sign, I'd be showing them a sign. I mean, I'd be turning some water into wine. I'd be raising some. I mean, I'd be giving somebody, I'd heal somebody's ear that just got cut off. You know, they saw all this. They heard all this. And when I was grown, I finally figured out that he'd already said enough. that he'd already done enough. It was their time to decide. And they actually had already made their choice. And it didn't matter what he did at this point in time. It was not going to change anything. Because, as I said just a few verses ago, well, it's actually in another gospel, but just a few hours before this, he'd healed Malchus's ear. And they've still got him on trial. In verse 62, and Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Just a simple answer, truthful answer. Maybe they don't understand the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, but here again, I have been told that if you don't know the Lord, the Word of God doesn't make sense to you. It makes sense to us with about 2,000 years looking back. I'm going to read it one more time. And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes. He literally tore his garments and saith, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. I don't see it. I don't see the blasphemy here. I mean, he told them the truth. He said, are you the Son of God? He said, yeah, I am. But for a person to make himself equal with God, that amounted to blasphemy. Now, I will tell you that here again, they were trying to find two witnesses and they couldn't. Now, another thing that you will hear pastors talk about is how that this trial was illegal. There are some who try to say that was an error, but it's not scriptural. It's not from the Bible that this trial was in error. It was in the Jewish law of the day, in the Sanhedrin law, that they were not to have a capital trial at night. In other words, a trial that could result in the death penalty could not be carried on at night. And not only that, but a trial with the sentence of death could not be concluded in one day. The accused had to have an opportunity to have someone come and witnesses to come and to defend him, and Jesus was not granted that. So by their own law, this trial was illegal. It should not have been carried out on the feast days, and there were several ways that this thing should not have been, but here again, they wanted him gone. And when they wanted him gone, they got close enough, and that was good enough. In verse 65, you know, it had been bad enough just to kill him. It says, and some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, literally to hit him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Jesus was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. Now, I read this verse to you a little while ago that old Peter was out there with some of them warming himself by the fire. So this little girl comes out in verse 67, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. So she said, thou wast with him? And he said, oh, no. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them. For thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Now, I sound normal to me, except when I listen to myself on the radio. But when I listen to somebody from Mississippi or Alabama, or when I run into somebody from South Louisiana, I can usually pick up that Cajun accent. Now, somebody from California, I can't tell the difference, but I know they're not from around here. These old boys have picked up on Peter's accent, and they said, "You're a Galilean. We can tell." In verse 71, "But he began to curse," which they killed a man, they stoned a man back in Moses' day for that. "But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew." Jesus had told him what? I mean, just a little while ago, "Before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Mark's the only one that records it like that. Peter said, "I won't deny you. Though everybody leave, I'll stay with you till I die." He's denied him three times. And that old rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. Now, guys, I've got to be honest with you. I don't know what difference it would have made. I mean, I don't know that it would have helped Jesus if Peter had said, "Hey, I know him." But he would have kept his word. And I don't know that Peter could have stopped the crucifixion. But he could have tried. He could have put forth that effort. And what we have here is a monumental personal failure. I mean, this man has gone back on his word. He has gone back on his friend. And the guilt, well, it could drive him crazy. But it won't. And you know the story. And I know the story. And Jesus Christ redeemed Peter. Peter understood that he had failed. And you know, guys, I'm just going to tell you, over the years, and of course, I've raised 1.5 girls. I'm still trying to work on the second one. Sometimes people say, "Well, what about this school and what about that school? You know, they've had problems." And I say, "Well, you know, in my way of thinking, the school that's had problems knows they've got them. The school that hadn't had any trouble, they may be on the way." And guys, those of us, and I said those of us who have failed, can understand what that means. And we can understand what it means to be redeemed and what it means to be forgiven. And we can't go back and change it. We can't go back and take back those words. Now, we might be able to apologize if people are still alive, or we might be able to do what we can, but you know, guys, from this day forward, we've got to try to make every lick count. Now, that doesn't mean you don't rest, and that doesn't mean that there aren't days that you take it easy or whatever the case may be, but we've got to understand that we can have forgiveness. And once we receive that forgiveness, we rebuild our lives to the best extent possible. And we use what we've got left. That's what God wants us to do. That's what Peter did with the rest of his life after Jesus came to him and confronted him. He said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "Peter, you're still here. You've still got a job to do." And I believe Peter did it. And I believe you and I. Well, if you're hearing this, and I am too, we're still here. And if we're still here, we've still got a job to do. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you. God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.